Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. This here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, we have memory on the menu today. A little later on, Nam Sung Kim, Senior Vice President of Samsung's Memory Business Unit, is joining me to discuss the challenges of the von Neumann processor memory boundary, the evolution of our computing architectures, and the details of Samsung's new novel HBM processing in memory approach. But first, it's time for a little news you may have missed. So, what if we could simplify IC design and make our ICs faster and more powerful at the same time? That is exactly the goal of a multinational team of researchers and a team of physicists from the National University of Singapore. So, in collaboration with the Indian Association of the Cultivation of Science, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, the University of Limerick, the University of Oklahoma, and Texas A&M University, this team has developed a novel molecular memristor that has some seriously cool memory reconfigurability. And their inspiration? The brain. Dr. Goswami, first author of this study and research fellow at the Department of Physics at the National University of Singapore, explains their research like this. Similar to the flexibility and adaptability of connections in the human brain, our memory device can be reconfigured on the fly for different computational tasks simply by changing applied voltages. Furthermore, like how nerve cells can store memories, the same device can also retain information for future retrieval and processing. Okay, so what exactly are we talking about here? Well, let's start at the beginning. So, Dr. Goswami first designed a molecular system that had a central metal atom bound to organic molecules called ligands. Now, these molecules are important because they are a lot like electronic sponges. They can have as many as 6 electron transfers that can result in 5 different molecular states. Now, this interconnectivity between these different states is key to the IC's reconfigurability. So, next, Dr. Goswami designed a circuit using a 40-nanometer layer of molecular film placed in between a top layer of gold and a bottom layer that consisted of gold-infused nanodisc and indium tin oxide. Now, what he found was pretty amazing. He observed what he refers to as an unprecedented current voltage profile when he applied a negative voltage to the device. So why unprecedented? Well, unlike conventional metal oxide memristors, which are switched on and off at only 1 voltage, this new device was actually able to switch between on-off at several different voltages. This team was also able to observe that these organic molecules contained a specific spectral signature within their vibrational motion, which does explain those transitions. Very interestingly, this team was able to describe the behavior of those molecules using a decision tree algorithm with if-then-else statements. Next, this team actually used those molecular memory devices to run real-world computational tasks, and even showed that these new devices could perform complex computations in a single step, and even further, could be reprogrammed to perform another task in the next instant. So, in essence, a single molecular memory device developed by this team could perform the same computational functions as thousands of transistors. Wow. So what's next? Well, right now, this team is working with other teams of researchers to conduct simulation and benchmarking against other existing technologies. But they are also working on building new electronic devices that incorporate these new molecular memory devices as well. Wow. So, if you want even more information about this study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Nam from Samsung and talk all about Samsung's new novel high bandwidth memory processing in memory approach that is going to accelerate the next generation of AI designs. Let's go. Hi, Nam. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, so we're here to talk about Samsung's novel HBM PIM approach. But before we get into the details, Nam, can you set the stage for us? Why do you think computing architectures must evolve to meet the needs of AI and ML applications? And how do you think they should evolve, in your opinion?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, everyone who would listen to this podcast knows that diverse machine learning and AI applications have been widely deployed to many commercial products and services these days. And many researchers and engineers have been working hard to develop better and more sophisticated algorithms and run them more efficiently using various computing platforms. That said, one of the most challenging problems for running such applications on the current computing platforms, especially based on the von Neumann architecture, is that many of them demand a lot of data exchange between processors and the memory compared to the traditional applications. So their performance is basically memory bound. In other words, how fast the memory can deliver the needed data to the processor determines the performance of these machine learning and AI applications. One good example is recurrent neural networks. They are widely used for automatic speech recognition and natural language processing, and they will play important roles in many emerging applications going forward. When the data transfer from the memory to the processor becomes the bottleneck, then we will not be able to provide the real-time online services, for example. And this gets worse as the current trend shows that neural network models get larger and demand more data transfers at higher rates. Then some people will ask why we don't increase the rate of data transfers between the memory and the processor. Well, it's related to a high cost of doing so, in fact. In terms of the data transfer rates, we are reaching the physical limits these days. And as a result, we have to use far more expensive interconnect technology than today's ones and or consume a lot more power for transferring the data. So obviously, this can be an option for cost-sensitive and power and energy-constrained mobile devices. And even for computing systems used in data centers, the cost of electricity and cooling those hot devices because of high power consumption becomes problematic. Given all this, it's logical to start asking if there isn't a better way to do things. And that's why we started thinking whether the traditional von Neumann computer architecture with a rigid boundary between processors and the memories can evolve.
Okay, so Nam, in terms of the von Neumann processor memory boundary you were talking about, why do you think breaking this traditional boundary could be disruptive to both hardware and software designers?
The computer architecture based on the von Neumann's concept has been the foundation of our entire computing industry going back to the earliest day of computing, 75 years ago. It's driven the whole evolutionary arc of microprocessors and memories and set the foundation for programming languages and software development right up to today. So clearly, there is a lot there to be disrupted when we break the boundary between the memories and the processors. Some of the post-von Neumann concepts, such as quantum computing and neuromorphic computing, have been proposed. And they are amazing ones from a technological perspective. they would require a substantial rethinking of almost every aspect of designing computer systems, from the highest level strategies to the lowest level coding approaches. It's almost like starting all over again from the scratch. And as you know, that's a daunting prospect given that there are literally millions of engineers and developers all over the world who have spent decades learning and refining their skills, and many thousands of companies and organizations that depend on them and their ability to deliver reliable and functional systems in a timely manner.
So, Nam, advanced CMOS technology can help meet the needs of our new performance-hungry applications, right? How do you see this changing the landscape of existing software?
Definitely, advanced CMOS technologies can help meet the performance need for emerging applications, including machine learning and AI. And that's exactly what we have been doing over the past few years at Samsung, and developed the processing and memory technology has demonstrated quite clearly that we do not have to abandon CMOS technologies to start moving beyond the computer architecture based on the von Neumann concept. Again, there are some amazing concepts out there based on fundamentally different device technologies, but the fact is that we know a great deal about how to work with CMOS technologies and create useful, robust, and cost-effective devices that meet the performance demanded by the industry. And answering your question on changing the landscape of existing software, I would say one of the best aspects of our processing and memory technology is that it doesn't require any changes to the existing software code. Furthermore, it can work well with the current off-the-shelf commercial processors. These are something that we seriously considered from the beginning of our project for wide adoption of the technology by the industry. Over the last 6 months, we have demonstrated that our HBM processing memory devices could be successfully integrated not only with a commercial FPGA device, but also a commercial processor and ran unmodified TensorFlow code to get the performance and the energy benefit of a processing memory technology. And that's the type of capabilities we are planning to bring to market in a wide range of memory types, not just HBM.
Okay, so now can we get into the details of Samsung's new novel HBM PIM approach? What does this new approach really buy me as an engineer?
One good example is that the demonstration system that I just mentioned. Compared to a baseline system without using HBM PIM, we almost tripled the performance and reduced the energy consumption of the system by 70% when we ran memory-bound machine learning applications. These performance and energy benefits come from the fact that processing units inside HBM are exposed to 4 times higher on-chip bandwidth of HBM than the off-chip bandwidth between the process and memory. This substantially reduces the amount of data that need to be transferred between the process and memory, which is a big source of energy consumption in modern computing platforms based on the von Neumann computer architecture. Two important things that I want to emphasize is that, first, the performance and the energy benefits are available to existing applications with virtually no disruption. And therefore, there is practically no additional learning curve for software development. Second, our processing memory architecture can be easily implemented not just with HBM, but also LPDDR5 and other types of memory, and extended to even memory modules like DIMM. What this means for an engineer is that processing memory and all its benefit will become a viable option in the near future for a wide range of computing systems.
Great. Now, Nam, I know you talked about this a little bit, but what kind of applications do you see this kind of architecture being really powerful for? And where do you see this kind of approach headed in the future?
That's a great question. In general, this architecture will be powerful for most memory-bound applications. Specifically, we observed a tremendous improvement in machine translation using DeepSpeech 2, Transformer, and Tacotron, whose performance was more than tripled. As the size of machine learning models rapidly grows, I expect more of such models become memory bound and therefore get the performance and the energy benefit from our processing and memory technology. To loop back to my earlier comments about wide availability, one of the top priorities of this entire effort has been making it broadly adoptable. So Samsung's approach to processing memory retains existing memory form factor and the timing parameters to facilitate drop-in replacement of JEDEC-compliant DRAM with the processing memory DRAM in a broad range of systems. We see that processing memory can be implemented in LPDDR5, GDDR6, and future HBM3, and extended to memory modules through addendums or additions to the existing product specifications. So those improvements in performance and energy efficiency can be achieved without a generational transition. Lastly, as part of our effort to expand processing memory architecture and its applications, we recently developed and announced so-called AX DIMM, which implements processing memory at the memory module or DIMM level. One notable aspect of this AX DIMM technology is that it was built with standard DDR4 devices. We are especially encouraged by AX DIMM because the Samsung-Facebook joint evaluation has shown that AX DIMM can improve the performance of a deep learning recommendation model by 1.5x while reducing the energy consumption of the computing platform by 40%.
Fantastic. All right, Nam, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know a lot of us are cooking more these days at home during COVID quarantine. So, Nam, is there something new that you have come up with to cook at home during this time frame?
Oh, that's a great question, and I love to answer that. In fact, our family loves to eat pad thai. It's a Thai food. And because of a COVID situation, I mean, we couldn't go to the restaurant. So I learned how to cook pad thai, and my kids love to eat that. I mean, it's a delicate mix of sugar, fish sauce, vinegar, and lime juice. And it's easy to cook, and it's fantastic. I mean, my kids, my wife love this food that I make at home.
I love it, and that sounds absolutely delicious, Nam. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And before we go, don't forget to check out my brand new maker-themed monthly fish fry podcast series called Makers Today. In our third episode of this series, I chat with EE Journal's own Max Maxfield about how he got involved in electronic engineering, what motivates him to create the awesome designs he has developed, and why one piece of advice from his mother made all the difference in his life. And we will have a brand new episode of this series launching next week, and you really don't want to miss this one. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's AMELIA, at eejournal.com. or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of September 17th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.